I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Buffy and Frodo were in the Hogwarts library late into the night, prepping for the final trek into Mordor.
Liz, I have to stop you.
Why?
Because this already sounds like the greatest story of all time.
World Stealers!
This is
World Stealers!
You know how when you're on Netflix and you're looking for something to watch and you can't find anything?
Always.
Wouldn't you wish that you just took something that you watched before, like The Great British Baking Show, and made your own version?
Oh my God, yes.
We're doing that. We're like the Netflix of fan fiction.
Because we're not baking.
No. We could.
We might.
Maybe one day.
What if we spelled a story in cookies?
Cookie story.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Liz.
Are you ready to do your fan fiction?
I'm very ready.
Oh, tell us a little about what we're going to be having in our ear holes today.
Okay, so there's something really important that you need to know in order to really understand the multi-layers that are going on in my fan fiction.
Yes, okay. Go on.
Did you do research into like actually reading Lord of the Rings fan fiction?
I didn't know.
Okay. So I started reading into it because I kind of wanted to get a feel for what the dialogue writing would be like. Mm-hmm. I do that a lot with like, particularly with franchises I'm not super comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I did watch all of The Lord of the Rings and I watched the first season of Stranger Things because mine is the crossover.
Nice.
Of Stranger Things and Lord of the Rings.
I'm so excited for that, by the way.
It's pretty fun. And what I found is that Lord of the Rings fan fiction almost has its own genre.
Really?
Yes. Like it has the many genres of like adventure or crossover or whatever, but then it has this one genre that's specific to it. Although it might apply to other franchises, but anyway, it's where young girl gets trapped in Middle Earth.
Okay.
And falls in love with Legolas.
Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense.
So it's so pervasive to the point that a lot of the summaries at the top of fan fictions will say, this isn't your typical young girl falls into Middle Earth and falls in love with Legolas. This would be what it was like if it happened for real.
Oh, God.
I saw like five of them in a cursory glance.
And that's so weirdly infuriating for some reason. I don't know why I hate it, but I hate that.
I truly like it. It was fascinating to me. I mean, I guess I could imagine it happening in Harry Potter and other things where like there's a crush, somebody to like.
Right. But well, Harry Potter has just a ton of like, there's a lot of Harry Draco slash and Hermione Draco.
Yeah, but that's with the characters.
Right.
This is just like an insert. Inserting in order to be, because if you think about it, there's really no love story in Lord of the Rings except for Aragorn and Eowyn.
Aragorn and Arwen.
Arwen, sorry.
They're actually in the books, there is Eowyn and Faramir.
Ah.
But in the movies are so much more heavy-handed about that love story than the books are about Arwen and Aragorn, because it doesn't, it like almost doesn't exist in the books. It's like mentioned.
Yeah.
But they need, again, they needed to give Liv Tyler something to do. I get it. She's a gorge babe.
Also, I don't, because I didn't read the books, although I did download the audiobook, and I'm actually kind of excited to like dig into it because I started listening and it's just fantasy fun.
Yeah.
But I, in the books, is Legolas a hunk?
I don't, you know what? It's not really.
It's not, right? It's not a thing. Yeah.
I do remember as a youngin' seeing these movies in theaters. I want to say they started coming out when I was in like middle school. And I had a big crush on Legolas. Orlando Bloom, like young Orlando Bloom.
Oh, Liz, I had a 6-foot cardboard cutout of Legolas in my bedroom in high school.
I'm going to call up my roommate, Kira, who I know does not listen to this podcast, and tell you that she had a life-size cutout of Legolas in her college dorm.
I don't know what, they must have been selling them at like Hot Topic or something.
They must have been.
Because I definitely acquired one. And I just thought it was, occasionally I would wake up in the middle of the night and there'd be a silhouette of a man in my room and I'd get freaked out. But for the most part, it was just cool to have.
You know, there is something about that specific look, that sort of like slightly effeminate, really beautifully featured.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of boring in the movies, but in a way that you're like, maybe it's mysterious. And then he watches an older person, and you're like, oh no, that's just like a boring dude.
That's just like a boring dude, yes. But it was the whole boat, you know, he was very action forward.
Well, and I think because he didn't really have a personality, you could sort of just like project a personality onto him.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, and this is like a long discussion about how we sexualize things as a society, but when you're young women who are heterosexual, I think tend to attract towards very young boyish looking men.
Yeah.
Right? You're not into body hair. You don't like an older man. You don't want like something hyper masculine.
I didn't really get the whole Aragorn thing until I was older.
Like,
oh yeah.
And I wonder what the factor of that is. Is it like a safety thing? Is it these men look dangerous? Or is it that we're so into criticizing what women look like and identifying what is beautiful that we look at men who are beautiful and go, oh, that's what a man should look like.
And I wonder, too, if it has something to do with the fact that, like, women, especially women that age who are, like, right around, like, tweeny age, like, you have such strong bonds with other women at that age.
Maybe,
like, even through college, you, like, form these bonds. Women form these bonds that, like, I just don't think men really, there's, like, not really a dude equivalent of it. And I wonder if that sort of just gets projected onto these sort of like pretty men who you're like, oh, I would like, we would love each other in a way that I love my girlfriends, but also your boy.
Yeah. Maybe because you don't fully understand like what a relationship is, what a sexual relationship is. And you don't even understand like the division of the genders because you've been so segregated your whole life. Boys over here, girls over there. Boys do this, girls do that. That it's like, you kind of want a boyfriend who's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't really, what are boys doing?
We're super projecting like weird sexuality stuff right now. But we're just talking about it.
I'm going to take it a step further. First of all, elves fuck. Second of all, they all look like pretty girls they're fucking each other.
They do. It's definitely like a lesbian party.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh,
would that be a fun orgy, too?
That would also be fun.
And they'd all be like kind of dancing around and like very effete, and there'd be lots of like magic and it would just be like beautiful, long-lived, gorgeous people.
It would be like in a bathing house, right? And there'd be a lot of like soaping each other.
And it'd be a very like idyllic orgy. There'd be nothing like, I mean, the dwarves have like a down and dirty, like
a filthy orgy.
Fuck it, right? But the elves,
people
are just
don't
like,
know what they signed up for with this podcast.
Ooh, sorry guys. We're going to talk about creature sex. But they're so graceful and beautiful in the way that they move and like clear-eyed and long-haired. It would be gorgeous to watch. It'd be like a ballet of sex.
A ballet. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Back to Legolas.
Young girl goes to Middle Earth and falls in love with Legolas.
Well, and it's always, so that's the thing. It's always a little bit inappropriate because I feel like the girls in these stories are very young, high school age.
And elves are hundreds of years old.
Exactly. Tiny Army, for this episode, since it's a crossover and you already know everything about Lord of the Rings, you are going to need to know a little bit about a Netflix show called Stranger Things, which is about kids on bikes in the 80s solving mysteries. And you're also going to need to know about a game that they play together called
Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a big nerd about it. It was invented in, I believe, the 50s and 60s by a man named Gary Gygax. It involves basically inventing characters and role-playing them out as if you were an improver or an actor, except your children fighting demons and orcs and dragons. And it's played using dice and paper and books. Just the perfect nerd combination. And it gets mentioned a few times in my story, so if you don't know about it, give yourself a little Wikipedia time to learn.
So anyway, so my story takes place in the world of Lord of the Rings. It specifically takes place in the Two Towers when they're going from Isengard down to Edoras.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard, to Isengard, to Isengard.
What is that a thing?
It's a YouTube video. I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
Somebody remixed.
This is post Isengard.
So post Isengard. So yes. The Ents have had their success in trapping Saruman in the tower.
Yes. And so specifically the crew that is together is Gimli, Legolas, Gandalf has rejoined, Merry and Pippin have been saved, and Aragorn.
Right.
That's it, because Frodo and Sam are off on their own thing.
To talk about another bromance there.
Yes. Hey. So that is where we're at in the story. And then when it comes to Stranger Things, we're post season two. Have you seen season two?
I have.
Okay, perfect. Really?
Spoiler alerts for Stranger Things. We're not going to give you a spoiler alert for Lord of the Rings. It's been out a bajillion years.
Big spoiler alerts for Stranger Things. Yeah, actually huge spoiler alerts, particularly if you haven't seen the last episode. But we'll cover that in our summary, so don't worry about it.
Cool.
Yeah, and so this one I probably could have spent a little bit more time on. Again, like you, I'm a big procrastinator. I also have a lot going on, but regardless, it was really fun to write, and it's very silly, and it's definitely not true to either world. So if you're a big fan of either world, like, don't become a rules lawyer to me.
Yeah, guys, it's fan fiction.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And this one's hyper meta, so it's even further from, yes.
I'm so excited to watch the world that birthed Dungeons and Dragons interact with the world that revolves around Dungeons and Dragons.
So that's the secondary thing to this. I have been playing and listening to a lot of Dungeons and Dragons podcasts. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my favorite ones, The Adventure Zone, Glass Cannon Podcast.
I knew about The Adventure Zone. I had no idea there was more than one.
There's like Dungeons 10. I'm listening to like 10. It's obsessive. I have a problem. Oh. Anyway, but I also have been playing it with friends. So there's a little touch of that in here. There's a small joke about clerics I'll explain when we get there.
I won't get that joke.
It's fine. I'll explain it to you. It's kind of fun and silly. Okay.
Yay.
Let's move on. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. This tale is called Little Girls in Middle Earth, a meta fan fiction. Because it's fan fiction about fan fictions. Can't do that. I'm the only one with dark vision. Dustin huffed and slapped his meaty adolescent hands down on the tabletop.
Meaty hands are gross. I'm sorry.
No, of course it is. Of course. But they are meaty.
Yeah.
Little boy hands are meaty. Yeah. Okay. Not true. Dwarves have dark vision too. Lucas chimed in, puffing out his chest to prove a point against his feisty best friend. But there's no dwarves in our party, so I'm the only one who can see the hill troll in there. Dustin pointed to the crudely drawn cave outline on the paper map between the six of them. Lucas sat up and crossed his arms, staring off at the wood paneling in the basement and pretending not to care. Okay, I don't see the troll, but I throw my sword at it anyway. Max was slumped over, her red hair curtaining her face from the rest of the group. Dustin chuckled at her. Good luck. Max gently rolled a small blue die. Lucas, Will, Mike, and Dustin all leaned forward enthusiastically to see the result. Whoa, said Will. That's 4 20s in a row. There's no way. Slowly, each kid turned to face 11, who was sitting at the table, slumped and as uninterested as Max. 11, you didn't, help, did you? Asked Mike gently, knowing that his new, not said out loud, but definitely because they kissed that one time, girlfriend could get angry really quick. Help what? 11 asked genuinely. What are you saying? That I can't win at this thing without cheating? Max stood up from the table quickly, knocking over the little plastic figurine that represented her player in the cave drawing. No, I didn't think that, Mike said, putting up his hands, knowing that while Max wouldn't snap his neck with her mind, she still had a mean punch. This game is stupid. Why would anyone play this when you can play an actual game at the arcade that's just like it? Max's face was getting redder as she protested. Lucas, her not boyfriend, even though they kissed once because she said so, tried to reach out to keep her from leaving. "You can't win, Max. We all play together as a team," so Lucas started but was interrupted. "We can play this at the arcade?" asked Eleven, unfazed by Max's outburst. "Well, Gauntlet is kind of like this, but not really the same." Mike reached over to prop up the knocked over figurine. There was a loud knock at the top of the basement stairway. "Kids, it's time for the girls to go home now." Will's mom's voice skipped down the stairs. The tension didn't leave the game table as Max yanked her denim jacket from the beaten up couch and stormed upstairs. Lucas ran after her. Eleven stood up and scanned the boys left behind, Dustin looking offended, Will shrugging, since he really didn't understand teenage girls or his friends' fascinations with them either. She turned to Mike. "Okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow," she said.
"Yeah, of course, definitely. I'll just call you when I get up and we can, make plans to, do stuff," Mike spilled out.
"Night," said Eleven, and then she turned briskly and left.
I just want to say, I love this because the boys are so like angsty and the girls are just like, "This is dumb. I want to leave." You guys have too many feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's just true to the characters in the movie. They're
for
just
sure.
adorably preteen.
They are.
Yeah.
I love Max. I know, like, I don't know. I feel like not everybody loved her addition to the second season.
No, I also loved her.
She was great.
I thought she was amazing. And if you loved her, you're going to love this story.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. The Indiana nights were getting particularly foggy lately, with distant sounds that could have been mistaken for horses, but were probably just branches rubbing together. They were noises that Max could ignore, even when they scared her, because after chasing down dimension-hopping demons and dealing with her jerk of a brother, it was easier to deal with the mysterious darkness of the Indiana woods. Nothing in the woods ever bothered Eleven, because she could kill most things that live there and eat them.
I love Eleven.
The two young girls walked confidently down the paved state road, not speaking, as they rarely did when they were alone together, and they both preferred it. The road that would eventually weave and turn, then fork off towards the other side of town where Max lived, matched in the other direction by more woods where Eleven lived, with Hopper, was completely empty. There were no speeding high schoolers or parents coming home from a date night, just the empty wetness of a night with a full moon and clean asphalt. Eleven stared for a moment at a familiar dead tree with a branch hanging precariously, ready to fall, and she stopped. Max turned to her.
"What is it? Is something there?"
she whispered, knowing to be serious about anything that Eleven paid attention to.
"I think there's a shortcut this way. Used to live in... Yeah, I know the woods.
Yeah. Okay, well, if there's a quicker way, let's go. Tonight is kind of weird." Eleven nodded at this observation, although a lot of nights were weird in Hawkins, Indiana. She led the way off the road, down into the irrigation ditch, and uphill into the dark thick of trees and deep undergrowth. Max followed close behind. A mile or so in, Max started to think that Eleven was having another episode or crazy moment or whatever it was that made her brain do its thing. It wasn't a shortcut if it took longer to get home, but maybe Eleven didn't fully understand the term shortcut. Also, the rocks were getting bigger somehow, like giant boulders instead of rocks. And the forest was quiet, nothing save for their footsteps on the moist bed of leaves along the forest floor. Even the trees seemed taller, extending into the night sky and almost drowning out the light from the moon that kept them from tripping over wayward branches. A quick rustle came from behind the two young women. They stood still. Then Eleven turned to face the noise and heard a long zipping noise, like something that was being pulled taut.
Like a bow?
A pair of leather boots, and then the bottom of a dress. Then a man came out of the shadows, leading with the tip of an arrow pointed at the curly-haired 12-year-old staring at him. Seeing them in the light, he lowered his bow and gave his long blonde hair a ceremonious flip.
Elves are so vain. I just want to say that I'm really excited that, is this just going to be Max and Eleven?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, that's it.
Bye, boys. Bye, bye.
Bye, bye. I mean, they come back, you know.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's four boys here happening, so.
There's only really boys here happening, so.
That'll become very apparent.
"Women of your age shouldn't be wandering this crossing without proper guard, as these hills are brimming with
Who the heck are you, Robin Hood? Max yelled out, charging forward to stand next to Eleven.
Robin? Huh? I'm merely saying it's a dangerous night for it. Move along, Blondie, Max finished, crossing her arms with a humph.
I think they've made it clear, Legolas, that they have standing as warriors if they choose.
Another man, bearded and in cloaks, stepped out of the woods with his hand raised in surrender to the girls.
Yeah, nothing about the size that means they're not fierce, elf.
A gruffer voice came from behind, and Eleven whirled around with a threatening look, only to see a kid. No, not a kid, a very short man with an incredibly thick beard, but still in a dress, just like the others.
We should introduce ourselves as we travel the same crossings at night, and to perhaps reveal if our purposes are as friends or foe.
The taller bearded man said this, moving in front of the blonde and miffed Legolas.
I am Aragorn, Ranger of the North, and this is Legolas and Gimli. We're headed to...
Max started to laugh, cutting off Aragorn's statement. She pointed to all three and said,
you're from that book all the nerds like. You know, Eleven, the one Lucas and Mike won't shut up about. The ring something.
Lord of the Rings, Eleven said quietly, scanning the men surrounding them and thinking hard.
Yeah, but you're not those guys, because they're from a book and we're in Indiana.
So what are you, practicing for Halloween? Max said, squinting her eyes to see the clues of their true identities a little more closely.
Oh no, not this again, said the gruff short one, Gimli, dropping his axe down on the soil and pointing at Legolas. This is your fault, you know. The minute we leave a city, a young girl from another magical world that only Gandalf seems to comprehend interrupts our quest and swoons over you, the hairless prince.
Oh my god, I really like this.
So this is a world where this happens all the time.
Oh, I thought my fan fiction was meta, but this is another level.
I told you.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I told you.
I'm not a prince, merely from the woodland realm. And of course I grow hair, you stout little.
I see we have another set of curious visitors.
A deep voice boomed from the trees, again accompanying a man who stepped out from them, old and regal in all gray.
No, wait.
White? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. After he fights the Balrog and comes back, he's off the white.
Beautiful. Okay.
Oh, aren't you glad I'm a nerd?
I'm so happy you're here. Old and regal in all white.
And I suspect they are confused and disoriented from their cross-dimensional journey.
I'll disorient you, you old craggy.
Yes, we are, and we need to go home. Eleven spoke over the wizard, the two of them having a moment of recognition in their gazes.
Oh.
And I imagine you will, young travelers. But what my companions say is true. The woods are not safe tonight. Shall you travel with us until you find your true path again?
As he finished, Gandalf set his staff down hard on the ground, causing a small ripple that bounced off everyone, and Max suddenly felt sleepy and serene. However, Eleven's disposition did not change. Gandalf looked at her sideways for a moment, then smiled and walked back into the woods.
I also realize now that we both chose Gandalf as the point of interdimensional communication.
Yeah, but I feel like that's who else would you choose in those books to be like, I get what's happening here, it's fine.
Right, exactly. And you need someone who's capable of guessing what's going on. Yeah. Eleven followed Gandalf without a word, walking right between Legolas and Aragorn, who watched her leave bewildered. Max followed after her, shooting a dirty look at Legolas.
I suppose that this round of travelers don't fancy you as much, Legolas, Aragorn said.
Yeah, maybe this time someone will have a crush on me, said Gimli, laughing. Although I'd have to break it to them that I'm 142 with 15 grandchildren.
The three men shrugged and followed their guests behind the white wizard.
I feel like Gimli is never not fun to write.
He's so fun.
Yeah, he's just great.
He's very fun because he's just constantly a jokester.
Yeah.
But gruff.
Yeah, he's like a gruff but like happy-go-lucky little guy.
Exactly. He's just the perfect definition of what a dwarf is.
Yeah.
And I told you how much I love dwarves.
Oh, they're awesome.
I actually, in my D&D game, I'm a dwarf. I'm a lady dwarf and I have a beard.
Yes.
I'm nice. A lady dwarf Amazing. Paladin, so I have a morning star, which is that big ball with the spikes on it on the chain, mm-hmm. and I have a beard.
Amazing.
My name is Maldred Fireforge. Anyway.
I love it. Thank you. I am picturing you with a beard. I've actually seen you with a beard in one of our sketches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's I look great with a beard.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. The three men shrugged and followed their guest behind the white wizard. Ahead, Max caught up with Eleven and whispered, "You seem to know what's going on, and, well, weird stuff happens to you, so just tell me, are we safe or what?" Eleven kept her eyes set on Gandalf's gliding form ahead of them. "I don't know." "Do you know if we can go home, though? I mean, are we really not in Indiana?" "I don't think so." "Oh," said Max. "But the old man said we could go home, so maybe he knows." "Maybe." Max looked annoyed at her friend. "Great." Eleven doesn't talk.
No. Eleven really doesn't talk. I also love that this is, it's such a like great world to choose because in Hawkins, Indiana, like in the world of Stranger Things, you can get to another dimension just like by popping through a hole in a tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just be walking through the woods and wind up in Middle Earth?
Yeah. I mean, it's such an easy, both of these worlds, because of the presence of magic, are easy to blend together.
Yes.
Which I think when we first did a crossover, like this, that did not work out for us because we chose two worlds that like one of them had to be believable.
Right.
Right. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and even with Doctor Who, I feel like, what is that saying about, you know, technology that is sufficiently advanced was undistinguishable from magic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like that was, yeah, it's an easy trope to be like, oh, in your world, it's magic. In my world, it's a Sonic. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Ugh, I love this. I'm so happy.
Later, after climbing a rocky hill to find a flat clearing overlooking the wooded valley, they set up a camp against the mountainside. As the fire was set up, Max and Eleven were given Legolas's tent to rest in, a gesture he made nobly, bowing as he presented it to them. Gimli scoffed and sat down on the log that would be his bed. As Aragorn began to roast squirrels over the fire, two more men wandered onto the camp with the arms full of small tree limbs and twigs. "We found some mushrooms on the far side of the ravine, and no, we didn't eat them," said a smaller man with a curly mop of hair. When they reached the fire, the young girls noticed that these new men were even shorter than Gimli. Sprightly, like children, but somehow still men.
See, I want to say that if I were a 13-year-old girl, like, and was still, like, small, and I would have a crush on a hobbit.
Oh, definitely. I would have a crush on Merry and or Pippin. They're both cutesy.
So fun and accessible, and they just, like, want to eat and play jokes.
Yeah. But see, Max and Eleven are not the crush-type girls.
That's true.
So,
boys have crushes on them.
Exactly.
You know?
"But we want to eat them, you know, as long as they're not poisonous or..."
The second tiny man trailed off, looking at Max and Eleven.
"Oh, dinner guests!"
He dropped his pile of sticks and ran over to them, followed right behind by his enthusiastic partner.
"Hello, I'm Pippin, and this is Merry, and we're from the Shire, and we're hobbits."
Max and Eleven both stared at the tiny men, who were at eye level with them sitting down.
"They must be in shock, Pippin. Remember how that one girl cried because she thought she was stuck here forever?" "Well, they always cry when they find out they can't stay here and marry Legolas."
"Excuse me? Marry that guy? Gross. I'm 12. Max said.
"Yas, Max.
"Oh, well, I guess that could be a problem. And who are you trying to marry?"
asked Pippin. "No one. We're stuck," said Eleven, who had just spent the last hour of walking, explaining to Max that sometimes she goes to different dimensions, and no, she can't control it, and yes, sometimes she has to fight stuff, and no, she's never seen any aliens, and she doesn't know about this book because she never reads very much, so she doesn't know why they're there or why they can't get home. It was exhausting. But the wizard kept assuring her, both vocally and somehow with a sense of power, that they would in fact return to their world. Max wasn't totally satisfied with any of Eleven's answers, but figured if it gets her out of school on Monday, it can't be that bad. Do you like this quickness of exposition I just did?
Nice.
Thank you. The hobbits quickly lost interest in the new dinner guests and went off to test out their mushroom supply. Drugs.
Oh, hobbits are high all the time.
All the time.
All that pipe weed they smoke.
Yeah, definitely. Stoners.
Yeah, tobacco. Get out of here. Always hungry, always smoking. Come on.
You weed smokers. Eventually, everyone, except for the new visitors, grabbed a bit of squirrel and went back to prep the work that comes with long travel for the glory of your world and the well-being of the realm. Max and Eleven retired to their lone tent and gathered themselves underneath thick coats of fur since the cold was finally getting through their jeans and polyester shirts. As Max began to slightly snore, Eleven started to truly focus. They were headed in the right direction through the woods, the path she used to run when she lived there alone, hunting and surviving. Then she remembered a small hiccup in her mind, a whirring noise that sounded familiar to the fluorescent lights in the research facility she was raised in. Was there something in the woods? Something left over from Hawkins' lab that wasn't seized or dismantled? Something that clicked on and created the ripple that connected her. The more she thought about it, the more she was able to narrow down on the moment the woods switched. Determined to stretch her own mind, Eleven closed her eyes and emptied. Pushed out every thought to focus on that thin, fleeting line that ran between the worlds that she could push into. She reached over slowly for Max's hand, feeling the tingle of that shift in the air that would take her through a wall between the worlds. The front flap of the tent flew open, and Aragorn squatted down close to them, sleeping under the furs, and whispered, "Ladies, we must hurry. There's a patrol. Come." He scooped out of the tent quickly, holding the flap open for them to follow. Eleven shook Max awake, who started to yell and protest, but stopped when Eleven put a hand over her mouth. They exchanged a look that meant business, and Max stood up without a sound, the two leaving and following Aragorn to join the rest of the party further up the mountain and onto the ledge, away from sight. They could see the embers of the fire flickering out down in the distance. There was a sound of horse hooves and grunts before they saw them. Four large men, or beasts, black and blue all over, trampled onto the campsite, waving their torches around and yelling into the night. The hidden group was soundless and motionless, watching.
"If they come up this way, won't they find us?" whispered Mary, shaken and frightened to the core. "Won't they smell us?" asked Pippin, chattering in his bedtime pajamas, a beige jumpsuit that matched his friend's.
"Shh, now, we will see,"
said Gandalf, who began running a hand over the edge of his staff. A blue and black beast held a torch closer and closer to the tent, calling out in anger for anyone there to come out and face them. Just as he reared back to burn it, a crack sounded, echoing across the ravine. All four orcs crumpled to the ground, not making a single noise after their collapse and remaining motionless, some with their heads twisted too far in one direction.
"It's gonna be Max. Max killed some orcs." Not Max. No, 11. Eleven killed some orcs.
Yeah.
"She killed some orcs and she did it and snapped their necks."
That's the song that goes along with it.
That's so fun. Sure. I feel like these guys should be like, "Hey, y'all should stay in our party because you're better at fighting orcs than us."
Well, don't jump to too many conclusions. Okay. All four orcs crumpled to the ground, not making a single noise after their collapse and remaining motionless. Some with their heads twisted too far in one direction. Max turned immediately to Eleven, whose nose was bleeding.
"Oh, thank God, I'm freezing," said Max, who grabbed Eleven and headed back to camp. All six men hiding with them stood still, shocked, and afraid. "That was not elf magic," said Legolas finally, as he looked up at Gandalf for an answer.
"That was not magic, my friends. That was power,"
Gandalf said quietly and with concern. By morning, the girls felt more rested and eager to return home. Eleven had outlined briefly and in few words that they would say goodbye to their new partners and then head back the way they came to find the point where she could hear the buzzing again, or at least find some quiet between the two of them so they could return home. However, when they crouched out of the tent, they found all six men waiting patiently for them, lined up from tallest to shortest, the two hobbits twisting their hands together in excitement.
"Quite a beautiful morning, isn't it?" asked Gandalf.
Yeah, I guess," said Max, looking at them all confused and glancing around for the bodies of dead black and blue beast men, which must have been cleared away while they slept. This world was weird, and she was starving for some cereal.
I really love the, like, mundanities of being a kid in this world where, like, everyone speaks in high speech and everyone is very serious and important. And Max is like, "I want Lucky Charms."
Yeah, that's don't care. What's important?
This sucks.
I don't care. Yeah.
"Allow me," said Legolas, who stepped forward from the pack and cleared his throat. "We humbly ask you, ladies, if you would join our quest to Mordor to vanquish the evil tyrant, Sauron. As you have such immense power and may be the only one who can conquer the forces of evil and return the ring to that in which it once came by..."
"No thanks," said Eleven.
"Yes,"
said Eleven, who nodded to Max. They both turned, starting to head down the rocky road.
"Wait," yelled Gimli, stumbling after them. "I apologize for thinking that you were those other useless girls. You are obviously both noble and experienced fighters in your realm, and we are on the verge of losing..."
"Hey!" Max spun around to face Dwarf eye to eye. "We said no thanks."
No means no, dwarf.
As the two strange girls began to walk away, Legolas leaned forward as if to go after and continued to try and convince them, but Aragorn put a hand on his shoulder.
I think we better not, he said calmly. You are not as thick as the orcs. You are easier to snap.
The party of travelers that would go on to save their world and crush the most powerful evil forces to ever be known to Middle-earth watched timidly as Max and Eleven returned to the woods. It took the better part of a day to find a small lake for which Eleven could submerge herself in, pulling Max in with her, reluctantly, given the muck and algae floating through it. But when they entered together, holding hands and waiting patiently on their backs until the right moment crossed into Eleven's mind, it was a smooth transition. When Eleven opened her eyes, they were still floating, but instead of looking up at the blue sky of Middle-earth, they saw ceiling tiles. They were floating soundlessly in the new school indoor swimming pool, which had only just opened the summer before, and Eleven had thought it might be useful for this direct purpose, although she had hoped to never use it again. They swam to the edge, alone in the wide building. Man, it's only Sunday. Maybe we should have stayed to at least Monday, said Max as she dripped onto the tile from soaking wet clothes.
Oh my God, I love this.
It's just a quick romp into Middle Earth.
Yeah.
It's just a little stop by. Just a little, we saved your lives party.
Yeah, just a real quick life saving.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just like love all those big men being like, but come back.
But please,
girl.
No, we need you.
We need you.
We said no thanks.
I also love like Legolas's injured vanity and like assuming that these 12-year-old girls would fall in love with him. I just like love a world where Legolas is like, oh, not again.
Well, I mean, that's what reading these fan fictions, they're really charming and endearing, the ones where the girl falls into the world and she's just like swooning over Legolas's small things that he does. Like he generally in the fan fictions, he'll like be very polite and noble and will try to save them. Will try to like make sure that they're protected when they're sleeping and these things that women fantasize about, which is having a man that's not an asshole.
Yeah, isn't it? Even the like bar for our fantasies is real low.
I know. But in the real world, if you do that to a man, if you're like, oh, you're so wonderful for not being an asshole, he turns into
I'm amazing.
Everyone loves my hair. Like, you know, so I was just kind of living in
I would
that.
Like a lot of credit for not raping that girl.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, basically.
But kind of.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's almost over.
Oh.
We're done. We're done in Middle Earth.
They're back.
I know. It was just a little quick. It's kind of how I feel about Middle Earth. I just want a little quick romp
just
in there.
Little, like, boop, boop.
And then I'm out.
Yeah.
At the Palace Arcade in Hawkins, Indiana, there was a larger crowd than usual running through the line of cabinet games and toy claw machines. Most of the kids were gathered around one cabinet in particular, watching as it shook from being played and tapped aggressively. Darn it, it's gonna take forever to get a chance to play. Dustin got on his tippy toes to look over the crowd of kid heads that were staring at the new game, Castlevania, that was just plugged in this morning. Lucas and Mike were munching on buttery popcorn and eyeing the machines that had been abandoned in lieu of the new cabinet. We can always go back to your house and play D&D, said Will hopefully, but then instantly regretted his thought and looked over at Max and Eleven, who were nearby playing Kung Fu Master. Or we can play it when we stay over, you know, so we can include Max and Eleven, Will said, resolved.
Man, it's just too bad that they don't get how cool it is to be fighting and killing orcs and stuff, said Lucas, shaking his head, but happy with the fact that Max wanted to hang out with him at all.
Yeah, too bad, they all agreed, then walked over to join their friends, who also happened to be girls, who they didn't really get all the time, but they were really pretty cool anyway.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I just want to represent the juxtaposition of how little boys are totally fascinated with little girls being who they are and loving them. And then something happens.
Right.
And they become terrible men.
I know. When does that switch happen?
I know. I mean, I think there's something you said about in Stranger Things, the little boys are so wonderful.
They're lovely. And I just love that, like, these girls are beautiful and we're just happy to be in their presence.
And if they don't want to play a game, they don't have to play.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. When does that become like these girls should change for me because I'm a man?
I think when girls get boobs.
Yeah, probably.
Because I think that men are. I think once you introduce sex into the situation, it's like a power dynamic.
Yeah.
that doesn't have to exist, but we force it.
And yet. Oh, I loved that. Okay, well, is Castlevania a real game?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I probably did more research on video games and D&D 80s arcade games. And 80s arcade than I did on... I did a lot of research on Lord of the Rings.
So how did you enjoy that experience? Because you were a Lord of the Rings newbie.
I like Lord of the Rings now. Okay. I've decided I have transitioned over. I watched the first movie and I was like, okay, this is actually very fun. And then I watched the second movie and Jack was like, this is the worst one. And I was like, it's pretty bad.
But it does have a great, that the Battle of Helm's Deep is really fun.
That is very cool. Yes. And then I watched the third movie and I was like, okay, this is great. Yeah. And shot amazingly and very fun. And the actors in it are silly. And this is great. And I want to read the books now. And then it doesn't help that I've been playing D&D obsessively.
Yeah, that'll suck you in.
Yeah. And actually, I forgot that I didn't put the joke in here about clerics.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah.
Which essentially, I'll just fill in now. Please. Just to back up. So D&D is based off of Lord of the Rings, and you get to play. You can play like a dwarf fighter, or you can play an elf wizard, or you can play, you know, all this stuff.
So you can like... amalgamize, you can
mix, mix and match all the That's different fun. Characters. You can be human, you can even be half orc, like you know, whatever. But then you can also be what's called a cleric, which is basically like a holy man who does healing. Mm-hmm. And the joke is that, like, to me, I don't really know what the history is, but to me, there's no clerics in Lord of the Rings.
Right.
I think it's just that they were putting together the game dynamics and they were like, well, fuck, when people get hurt, we got to heal them.
Somebody's got to have healing powers.
Let's make something up. because normally it's like the elves would heal you because they're magic.
Right.
So the joke that I was going to play was like... you know, they're in the world of Lord of the Rings and have Max be like, cool, you're the wizard, you're the fighter, where's the cleric? And everybody be like, what is that?
What's a cleric?
So, but I mean, I think that's a super deep nerdy joke, maybe?
I like it. I'm okay, always cool. for okay, super deep you. Nerdy jokes.
Okay, thank you.
Make those deep cuts, girl. That's great. Yep. I really enjoyed that. Thank that was you. Super cute and fun.
Thank you. And if you enjoyed it.
Tiny Army.
You know what? You can do Tiny Army.
We would love for you.
To...
please rate and subscribe.
And give us a review.
If you give us a review, we'll write you a baby fic.
Yeah, and we'll feature you as a special Tiny Army person. Because really the ranks right now are just infantry, generalissimo, generalissima.
Yeah.
We could use some middle management.
Do you guys do you want to be a lieutenant?
Yeah.
Like a sergeant?
Yeah.
Or another rank that I don't really know army ranks.
Private something?
I think privates are infantry, aren't they?
I don't know.
Do you want to be mounted cavalry, Tiny Ooh. Army? You can have a horse.
You want a horse, Tiny Army?
A Rohirrim. Rider of Rohan.
We have no shields. We have plenty of horses.
So many horses.
Too many horses.
Really? Yeah. We spent all our money on horses. Horses are expensive.
Give us 5 stars. Check us out. Follow us on @WorldStealers. Email us on @WorldStealersPod@gmail.com.
Instagram is also @WorldStealers.
Yep. DM us. Give us your ideas, your reviews, your rantings about how I got a lot of Lord of the Rings things wrong. Which is fun.
And also, I probably got both Lord of the Rings things and Doctor Who things wrong.
You know, I'm kind of like waiting for criticism. I want it. I need it.
That's the only way we'll improve.
Exactly.
But be nice.
Yeah. But be nice. As nice as you can
kick
be.
Kick you out of the army.
Yeah. You don't want to be court-martialed. No. All right. Well.
Okay. Well, guys. As always,
hide your kids, hide your worlds, because we're coming for you.